15:14. Because yesterday evening we discussed 11 and 12. Very quickly, Drew. this section ends Chaitanya Goswami speaking thus far through the entire chapter 1, chapter 2, and up to this point in chapter 3. Chaitanya Goswami alone has been speaking. In fact, he speaks nothing until this point, and then it's just straight through, because the questions asked on those pictures have already been presented, and he's been answering those questions. We heard yesterday about the position of Achamo Bhavo, the unflinching, spontaneous devotion to the personality of Godhead that arises from Tidra Bhakti. And that which can convert the various types of worshippers, Ekavana, Eva Yajatan, because in this chapter, various types of worship were also identified. Worship of various demigods. Not something, worship upon Krishna, but having incomplete understanding and having strong material desires, but having some piety, then worship of demigods may come. So to transition someone from that position to the position of Tidra Bhakti, the verse is indicating this comes by the association of pure devotee of the Lord. And Prabhupada comments that it's by this process alone, in other words, association, Bhagavata Sangataha is absolutely essential. Not optional. Absolutely essential to move from mixed to pure devotion. This change of heart, that's the theme of the chapter. Absolutely essential. It's the quality way of associating with Bhagavata Sangataha. Bhagavata means in relation to Bhagavan. One gets Bhagavan Sangha by Bhagavata Sangha, that which is in relation to Bhagavan. And Prabhupada consistently describes this. Bhagavata means this one, the book, Bhagavata, and the person who lives by the teachings of Bhagavata, the person Bhagavata. Just this morning I was listening to Prabhupada explaining this point, that there are varieties of association with Bhagavata. He is saying, just as now we're hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam every morning, we're hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Bhagavata Sangataha. But the Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, how do you do that all day long? We have our practical lives to live again. We may not feel ourselves able to all day long, every day and night, just hear Srimad Bhagavatam class in discourse. Well, what's the rest of this Nityam? Well, I explained that at least minimally, regularly, not daily. And when during the day when one is not hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, but one is serving the person Bhagavatam, that means the instructions of the Bhagavatam, you live by them. That's Nityam Bhagavatam. And as a result of Nashta, primary issue, other issue, undesirable things, or the moment of kiss, other shelters of the multi-demigods, or other desires mentioned previously. They are eliminated, and Nikshayasa, the highest benedictions, is reached. Emphasis. At that point, that association of pure devotees, nurturing and strengthening our faith and transmitting the role of life, then the second verse that we discussed was from that association and receives transcendental knowledge. And transcendental knowledge further when we see, like Maharaj Prithu was receiving from Shukadeva Swami, it transforms the heart. Further, this change of heart, the devotional service, change of heart into thing. And then subjectively, one can experience the cessation of the waves and the whirlpools of material existence. A prati nivritta gunarni chakra. Prabhupada explains the whirlpools. You all have the experience of what a whirlpool does. You put something at the edge of a whirlpool and very quickly goes down. And so also, if the practicing devotees are not careful, if we're inattentive, or worse, if Prabhupada described it as our American disease, as we're encircled with Maya, we see a little bit how far out of the limb we can go before the limb cracks, how far we can stray from the center of the road, the strict following of Krishna consciousness, a little bit thing. So, like the whirlpool, very quickly, just on the edge, a little something that floats, like a piece of wood placed on the edge of the whirlpool, quickly goes down. So, very quickly one can lose one's Krishna consciousness, can become covered. One can lose one's good standing or protection if one stays outside of this very careful application of the teachings of devotion. So, transcendental knowledge protects one from that, staying within that boat of transcendental knowledge. Results in a complete suspension of the waves and the whirlpools of the material world. And like the sun, brings happiness, more than happiness, it brings a satisfaction within the self, Atmanam or Atma Prasad, that the last little summary point, Kaivalya Samatha Pantha. Kaivalya Samatha Pantha. Samatha means approved. So, Kaivalya Kaivalya Pantha. And in Jiva Goswami's assistance, Prabhupada points to Kaivalya from a Rig Veda mantra. Kaivalya refers to Narayana, the personality of Godhead. He's in the absolute realm, and that which brings one to the absolute realm or to the personality of Godhead is Kaivalya Pantha. So this is an approved transcendental process, approved by all the scriptures and all the authorities. This Tivra Bhakti position. And it all starts with the process of hearing. Even in the sadhana stage, mention is made, even we're just practicing that one can be in contact with Krishna, because where Krishna Katha is taking place, Krishna is there. One's in direct contact with Krishna. Even in the practicing stage. So Prabhupada writes, this Kaivalya Pantha begins from Shravana, or hearing those topics that relate to the personality of Godhead. And the natural consequence of hearing such Parikatha is attainment of transcendental knowledge, which causes detachment from all mundane topics for which a devotee has no taste at all. And this is the expanding Bhagavatam's method, is expanding on the core messages we find in Canto 1 and expanding like a piece of cotton, or the jars make dealers have taken cotton, twisting, become very tight little. But you can do it the other way. Take your cotton and expand it. Just get little fibers. So expanding the meanings that are packed very tightly in the first canto is what the Bhagavatam is doing, taking the meanings and just expanding. It's not a different message, it's just examining in greater detail, in closer vision. So Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Sayojitaha Chandyati Ashri Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitapam. Causeless of Ahaitapam, causeless of knowledge and detachment arise from devotional service. And this devotional service, same method the Prabhupada just explained here, begins with hearing. So we try to create opportunity that people can hear by distributing books and by Harinam and by having classrooms and just doing all kinds of different things so that people can hear. And even like bridge type of things, or it's not even directly Krishna consciousness, but something that leads to direct Krishna consciousness. And that's going to come up in the verse that for this morning. So that ends Shukadeva Goswami's answer to Maharaj Pichu's questions. So it could be that the Bhagavatam is over. Not just, you know, morning class, but the question that Maharaj Pichu had, the burning, a very important question that he had, is now answered. Fortunately for us, Maharaj Pichu is very expert. He's expert at bringing from Shukadeva Goswami more nectar. And naturally so, because he's been hearing very attentively one of the symptoms, discussing this with one devotee the other day, one of the symptoms of hearing very attentively is that you become very excited, you become upabhimita, you become very full, and naturally questions arise, like, please explain this further, or how does this connect with that, and some, you know, very exciting kinds of Dhamma Jigyasu, the natural inquisitiveness is there. It's a sign of attentive hearing. When thoughts arise, and considering this angle, considering that angle, and discussing, that's how Krishna Katha is meant. It actually comes in the next verses before. But the topics of Krishna consciousness are meant to be heard and discussed in the association of devotees. Actually, Prabhupada speaks to it. The complete functional activities of a pure devotee. When one becomes a pure devotee, what does a pure devotee do? We're always engaged in service to the Lord, and thus the pure devotees exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental topics. None of the core verses of the nutshell verses of the Thakur Shloki verses of Bhagavad Gita. Madhyatakana Bodhayantas Parasparam Tatayantas Chamanitam Tushyantasya Ramantasya Madhyata, their minds are fully absorbed in Krishna. Madhyata prana, their lives are fully devoted to Krishna. Bodhayanta, they're enlightening one another, illuminating one another's intelligence in association. So there's things that one does with others who are not devotees and things that one does with devotees. Bodhayanta, paraspara, katayanta, chamanita, krishnanta. Engaging in Krishna Katha in amongst peers, amongst those who are a little less experienced on the path of devotional service, a little bit or more. These different relationships are centered around hearing chanting. But Maharaj Bhikshit has that quality. He's heard and he is excited because it's Shonaka that is speaking. Shonaka has heard this from Sutta. So he understands the qualification of Maharaj Bhikshit. He understands the qualification of Shukadeva Goswami. So inductively he reasons. That could have been it. They must have been after hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. Maharaj Bhikshit must have really been excited and asked more questions. And Shukadeva Goswami is such a wonderful speaker. He refers to him as Rishim Kavihi. He is the learned poet amongst great sages. But he's such a wonderful speaker. Surely he spoke something further. Surely Maharaj Bhikshit asked something further. Please describe what happened next. Then he says, O Lord of Sutta Goswami, please continue to explain such topics to us because we are all eager to hear. Shushroshatam, this is a very critical as association with pure devotees is critical. The eagerness to hear in that association is critical. If one wants to advance, it's a it's Rupa Goswami teaches the Bhakti Shastra classes and learn. The first of the principles, the six principles that help one advance on the path of spiritual life is utsaha. First, Prabhupada teaches that even in material affairs, if you want to be successful, you have to be enthusiastic. And conversely, if you're not enthusiastic, you're not going to be successful. With respect to spiritual affairs. Because we're very tightly caught up in material existence. But to go to the spiritual side, there has to be some utsaha, or here, the eagerness to hear, shushrushatam, the eager to hear. So that's Shonaka, he's speaking on behalf of the sages. The eager to hear, please describe. What did Shukadeva Goswami say next? What question did Maharaj Bhikshit ask next? Then he says, besides that, topics which result in the discussion of Lord Hari should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. And the Sanskrit is katha, Hari katha, Ubaraka. Katha, Hari katha, Ubaraka. Ubaraka means that which results in topics which result in Harikatha. Well, Prabhupada explains this is the nature of the Quranic literature. The Shrutis are directly the pronunciations of the personality of Godhead. And the Smritis are explaining that. And then one portion of the Smritis is the Purana, the history that describes things in relation to the personality of Godhead. So we find in Puranas so many things that sometimes somebody would wonder, what's this thing in here? Battles and lineages of kings and who did it for whom, and, you know, like seemingly Gromi Kata, just like, you know, village talk, talking about who did it to whom stuff. We get plenty of that with our relatives. Who's married to who got sick, who got born, who died. Whenever I associate with my family members, it's just a question of how long it's going to go on for, but that's what the nature of the topic is. It's, you know, and then that's over what's next. It's, you know, world events. Isn't it? Politics and sports and, you know, more who did it to who. But it's not in relation to the personality of God. It's in relation to, separate from the personality. It's illusion. A whole diatribe of illusion. All respect to my family members, but that's what comes. And why are there similar topics found in the Puranas? And the answer is because katha, hari katha udara katha, there is often topics in relation to the Lord. Satam, Syu, Sadashi, Dhruvam. The Dhruvam, certainly the devotees of the Lord should discuss these topics together. But here again, Prabhupada is amplifying and so forth. This is when devotees get together, what devotees do. Just like there's a number of you that help in the kitchen from time to time. One of the rules that's not often followed these days, but one of the rules that Prabhupada gave us of a kitchen rule is there's three things that can happen with sound vibration in the kitchen. It's directly Krishna Katha, directly in relation to the preparation for silence. And it's not just this kitchen, it's, you know, reflection of standards that may not be maintained from what Prabhupada gave us. Going to practically any kitchen and all kinds of conversations are taking place. That's not standard. Just like we wouldn't do that on the altar while addressing the deity, have a conversation about whatever. We wouldn't do that. But that doesn't happen. That's my experience. In the pujari room, something like that may happen, but it shouldn't happen. It should be one of those three things. And the kitchen is the extension of the altar. That's the training you call that takes you out around your kitchen. And we're preparing things that are going to... So the consciousness and the karmicness both are very important. And to maintain consciousness. How do you maintain consciousness? Calibration. Establish and maintain proper consciousness. I'm not making an issue of management and governance of it. I'm just speaking about a principle. And the application of the principle follows some training. It's all kept over. So, that which is in relation to, that which brings Harikatha, that's to be accepted. The opening sentence of the purport is always telling, because it's the summary message, an introductory and summary message. Prabhupada writes, as we have already quoted above from Bhakti Vaishnava Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, even mundane things that dovetail in the service of Lord Sri Krishna are accepted as transcendental. Now, what does that, you know, bring mundane things into Krishna consciousness and then kind of transcendentalize them? When I was a young devotee, someone heard this principle and he thought, well, it's like really obviously not right, but he wanted to play rock music, so he would somehow in his mind think, I'm making rock music to praise Krishna. Then he would ingest other things that are not Krishna conscious and that would enhance his rock music for Krishna. So that's not what the teaching. So understanding properly Rupa Goswami's teachings is important for all devotees, because we're living by those teachings. So these two important verses, what Yukta Vairagya is, for engaging things that are mundane in Krishna's service work, apparently not connected to Krishna. But actually anything has its connection to Krishna, so engaging that which is in relation to Krishna, in Krishna's service, is Yukta Vairagya. It starts with the verses of Anasaktasya Dushayan Yathaham Upanyam Jitaha Nirvanda Krishna Sambandha Yuktam Vairagya Ruchate. It's important to understand this. You can look it up in Bhagavad Gita. Both verses are written in chapter 6, text number 10. So there's this blanket calendar of asakti. You know what that phrase means, right? It's one of the stages of devotion. It comes after ruchi. Ruchi comes after nishtha. So one becomes steady, then there's some taste, and there's attachment. That's asakti. So this verse begins, anasakti, without attachment, to vishayan. You know what vishayan means? Vishayan means sense gratification. Without being attached to sense gratification, anasakti vishayan, yathaham upanyumjitaha, nirbandha krishna sambandhe, yuktam vairagya ujjate. Nirvanda. They're things that have their relation to Krishna and they're used in service to Krishna without any, very important, anasaptasya vishaya, without sense gratification. So that's a challenge, to do things that we like to do without doing them for our satisfaction, but doing them for Krishna's satisfaction, like dressing the deities. We all like to see the deities beautifully decorated and dressed, and all the nice ornaments and garlands and the markings on their face and crowns and, you know, it's nice. So we can enjoy doing nice things, but the message of Rupa Goswami is not for the purpose of our satisfaction, which is, this is certainly connected with this whole section that we're reading from here. definition of finding Krishna's happiness. Sukha matra svasukatam. Matra svasukatam. It's the senses of Krishna should be pleased. And my happiness is that. So, if we could be in the consciousness of decorating the deity, not so that we're pleased with how it aesthetically looks, but that Krishna is pleased. That's what we should be striving for. He is the leader of all living entities, and he descends at his will. and by his personal energy to claim all souls. Thus, he plays exactly like the social, political, or religious leaders. Because such roles ultimately culminate in discussion of the topics of the Lord, all such preliminary topics are also transcendental. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha. They're in relation to Krishna because it's Krishna's pastime, Krishna's associates, and Krishna's qualities come through. It's fully on the transcendental platform. That is the way of spiritualizing the civic activities of human society. There's human society, so there's a natural inclination for those types of things. How to take that tendency and spiritualize it. Men have inclinations for studying history and many other mundane literatures, stories, fiction, dramas, magazines, newspapers, etc. So let them be dovetailed with the transcendental service of the Lord, and all of them will turn to topics relished by all the devotees. The propaganda of the Lord is impersonal, that he has no activity, and he is a dumb stone without any name or form, has encouraged people to become godless, faithless demons. And the more they deviate from the transcendental activities of the Lord, the more they become accustomed to mundane activities that only clear their path to hell instead of return them home back to Godhead. Prabhupada has a little footnote and says, only 50 years ago, you won't find in India a public function, for whatever the reason, that didn't have some harikatha, performance of a Ramayana or a Mahabharata, some narration, something that brings that civic event in relation to transcendence. But all of that's been lost. So this is a revival movement to bring that dimension back into the worldly situations of life, civic affairs, just the family affairs, the affairs of everyday life, the spirit, the spiritual life. And only the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are super excellent in that regard. They're all, as ordered by Narada to Vyasa, they're all in relation to Krishna. So this is a safe boat. Get on board. Cross over the ocean of material existence that's filled with sharks and all kinds of dangerous creatures. Stay on board the transcendental boat and spiritualize the affairs of everyday life. Therefore, Nityam Bhagavati Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloka. Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. This is the formula of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Shonaka, having the sages, they're going to the commandant of the transcendental power of Sri Vidya Goswami and working the power. Please deliver this nectar. We're eager. You can deliver. Please tell us what happened next. What did Sri Vidya Goswami speak next? What wonderful question did Maharaj Pariksit pose to Sri Vidya Goswami?
When we declare deities,
there's mention here that in the previous verses of Atma Prasad, it's a question of intention, it's a question of consciousness. So, supposing somebody likes, you know, in the world, there are people who like fine things, fine ornaments, fine garments, fine things. They like. Their happiness is. They decorate their homes with whatever fine things their taste and their means permit. And that's their contentment. The devotee, at least the cultivation of a devotee, is fine things are meant for Krishna. And the sky's the limit. There's no limit. The culture that we should be striving for is that Krishna will be pleased, and that persons who see the beautiful decorated form of the deity will become inspired. Oh, such, and the devotees here are very expert in inspiring. Just how wonderful the deities are being decorated. So that invokes from those who see the deity some spiritual inspiration. So the pujari can be thinking like that, as opposed to this other example. Now, we're in this transition stage where we may also like some fine things. You know, as you say, if one feels satisfaction, then what's the harm? The harm is it may be my instead of Krishna's happiness. That's the danger. Prabhupada's example of the gopis is appropriate. When the gopis decorated themselves before they came to Krishna, they were thinking, not like a young girl might think when decorated herself, and you put on some nice clothing, some nice, so that the boys will be attracted to me. Then I can get some sense of thrill because the boys are attracted to me. The gopis were thinking like that. Krishna will be pleased. And that thought that Krishna will be pleased inspired even higher, so to speak, of transcendental enthusiasm to decorate themselves. And because of that mood of love, that is what Krishna was attracted to. Shankarachuda was just attracted by their beauty, thinking it's meant for me. Krishna was attracted by the love, which was meant for him. So it's the world of difference, material and spiritual. So the message is not we shouldn't seek contentment, or if you feel contented, that's bad. That's not the message. The message, we should be happy in Krishna consciousness, but that we should strive for that happiness, that Krishna's pleasure should be increased. Just like we say this when somebody does something very wonderful in service. We're sure the Prabhupada would be pleased. If we gave this report to Prabhupada, surely he would be pleased. So that's the meditation. The real inspiration is the inspiration of love. That the beloved will be pleased.
I don't find it, if I'm not satisfied with the
Well, in one sense, there's that's good. In the other sense, it's not good. Prabhupada was explaining once to Mother Shalabhati, I told this story of a very new devotee, when she had been trained by Prabhupada to, in Los Angeles, to be like the standard bearer of deity worship at all this club. It was a great honor. Mother Shalabhati was very qualified. So, at some point in time, they invited her to come to Dallas and help train them in the worship of the deity in Dallas. And then Prabhupada was visiting during one stretch of time, and she asked Prabhupada, can they extend the time for deity dressing by 15 minutes? Because it was very difficult to complete the dressing for the satisfaction in the time that was given. And Prabhupada was adamant, no. Said, you know, how long should Krishna stand there while you're dressing him? You should do it very nicely, but do it very swiftly. And then she was not arguing, but saying, but Prabhupada, so that I will show you. And anyone who's done deity worship knows if there's a certain amount of becoming familiar with the deity and the position and this and that. It takes longer at the beginning, it takes less time as you become more experienced, yes? So Prabhupada, not having dressed Radha Kalachandri before, the same amount of, you know, the preparation work was done by others, and Prabhupada was on the altar and finished 20 minutes ahead of time. And said, see? So there's a certain quality of being very, very present, being very attentive to something, so that you get a quality thing done quickly. And Prabhupada certainly lived his life that way. He did many things expertly in a shorter amount of time than it would take us, you know, years to do. Just the qualification of pure devotion. So we keep regulation to help us. Well, that's another thing. Satisfied is one thing, and enough is another thing. So, satisfied that we've made a sincere effort. Not satisfied that it's enough. Should be, you know, more, or should be nicer, or should be with more devotion. Yeah, so we always want to, it keeps a devotee from stagnating. That, you know, in some ways, feeling insufficiency. But on the other hand, the satisfaction that this is such a merciful arrangement, that what qualification do I have, and here I am, of Krishna's mercy. So that's, there's some satisfaction in that reciprocation of Krishna, but it's always ongoing, so there's satisfaction and nothing. There's always insufficiency. It's not that more time is going to take care of it. Go ahead. I know, I understand, but you want to explain it? You want me to explain it? You want to, I'm inviting you to explain it. The greed of a devotee. Go ahead.
He applied for the idea of money to get the money.
then the next day he's also feeling dissatisfied. Even having Dhamma was in his mind from the day before, then it's still not sufficient. Because it's greedy for Krishna's happiness. That's transcendental. Two procedures and there's two answers. If Prabhupada trained us in the system that you just described to help us, very needy souls, to understand the importance of offering everything to Guru. Whereas the other procedure is on behalf of the spiritual master, one simply shows the article to the spiritual master, and on behalf of the spiritual master, one makes the offering to assist the spiritual master, making that offering to Krishna. The former way is to strongly reinforce in a very neophyte or materially conditioned mindset the importance of Guru Parashraya. The Prabhupada trained us in that way for that reason. That's my understanding. Because we need to get it very strongly. Guru Parashraya. Yes. He doesn't accept anything on his behalf. He offers to his Guru Maharaj and offers the subject succession of Guru Krishna. So if one has that thought, who needs deity? Just worship Guru. That's the extension of that. So, but the Guru has taught us we should worship the deity. So, but how can I approach the deity? Only by the mercy of the Guru. And so, he strongly, very strongly, place that principle. It's similar, at least I'm explaining but my understanding of this procedure that Prabhupada gave us. Similarly to his accepting Guru Puja before the deity is when the curtain is open. It's explicitly in Rupa Goswami's teachings not to be done. And Prabhupada did it. Why did he do it? For the same reason. Because the reason is, our Western influence mentality tells us, don't be submissive to anybody. Be independent. Figure it out yourself. You're smart. Look at all the things that you've accomplished with your smartness. Look at this and that and that and this and that and that effect. Don't. Submit yourself. That's the meaning. That's the spirit. Whether it's so explicit or not, that's the spirit. No respect. So Prabhupada went the other extreme. Yes. After worshipping the deity, Guru Puja. And then Bhagavad Gita. That Guru Parashraya principle would be very, very strong. And it was successful. Prabhupada's followers have such faith in him. Even if they were crippled and not able to happen at all. The unfinished thing is this. So we have a chance to go the next, you know, go a little further in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so, similarly, how Prabhupada introduced the system of worship. So there has been discussion in the Archana Kadati or the Deity Worship Manual offers, you know, the pick and choose option. I can understand the principle of you show the art of form, but I like the training device. Personally, I like the training Prabhupada gave us for the reason he gave us. I don't need to stray from what Prabhupada gave me, you know, because there's another standard, another principle. I'm happy. I'm happy if other people follow the system too, but I'm happy following the system like you do. Again, it's on behalf of. The other logic is, are you going to offer to Prabhupada something that you've already offered to your Guru Maharaj? Are you going to offer something to Lord Chaitanya you've already offered to Prabhupada? That's the reverse logic. And, you know, they're accepting because this is what's in my heart. They're accepting because this is the instruction Prabhupada gave us. And it was the reason behind why he gave us that instruction was establishing firmly this Guru Padashram principle we needed to have it. Because of our diseased condition, we need strong medicine in here.
Principle to help us understand that Krishna is pleased. and then in even in terms of predecessor acharyas, you know, now I'm speaking principle, not specific like pizza or ice cream or something. I'm speaking principle. So what are some applications of principle that we see in the lives of our previous acharyas? Where, for example, you know, the writing of Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he described it in principle. What he was doing was making something that's directly from the scripture, couching it in something contemporary that people could relate to. Like Tamal Krishnaraj's effort of writing that book about the Chinese person who came to Chinatown. The same principle. Then in a question-answer format, then you get transcendental knowledge. So, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha, Yukam Vairagya Vichitaya, it's the proper principle. So, then your question is, how do we know what's the proper and improper application of that principle? It requires faith in acharya. Having a qualified acharya and having faith in that qualified acharya. So like here's one, chocolate. It came to the GBC. There's this, you know, what about chocolate discussion. Prabhupada established, so there should be an answer to that question. Prabhupada established the entire GBC body as the authoritative representative of himself. So the BBC should make some statement about chocolate. Some statement is made about chocolate. Based upon things the Prabhupada said and did, some statement is made. It's not to be offered to the deities. And if it's not to be offered to the deities, we don't take it. That was the position is. And why it was not offered to the deities, offerable to the deities, was a certain principle. Then, 1 year later, there was, you know, how do you get into minutiae? The GBC should be speaking, you know, thinking of vision process, and so that kind of discussion took place. But, so it's, in your life, Tamal Krishnamurti is that person that, you know, if you want to understand clearly what Prabhupada meant in a certain point, that's it, and that's it. That's the determining principle, governing principle for you as his disciple. And, you know, if something arises that he didn't happen to speak about, then you have that's the same. You look at what Prabhupada did and you look at what our previous acharyas did and see if there's a very clear line of application of principle. If it's not something clearly Tamal Krishnamurti spoke about and something through this other method, then there's three options that I can think of. Just shrug your shoulders and say, I don't know. That's one option. Or another is someone who you respect. Maybe Giriraj Maharaj or someone very, very close to Tamal Krishnamurti, Srila Prabhupada, accept his determination. It's the acharya principle. And, you know, depending upon the significance of the particular item, the GBC. Or a few GBC members, and take that as definitive. It's the acharya principle. How you make such determinations. How which? Well, it's the same principle. Your life, I mean, I'm speaking to you personally, but it's to others as well. Your life is more Krishnamurti. And that's the principle that's determining you in your day-to-day life. Because you have complete faith that he was such a strict follower of Srila Prabhupada, that whatever he said is, that's it. That's in your day-to-day life. Your life is guided by how you were trained by practitioners. Day-to-day life. Doc, you have something? Yes. Very dangerous. Well, you have to, then you go to the Acharya principle. You look for verification outside. You know, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. That's how. That's easy. But we hold our judgment to the light of something greater than us. That's not, I mean, reflex, immediately. Here's an object, hold up the object up to the light. Then you can see it, you know, you can make your determination. Is it transparent or is it opaque or what is it? No light's coming through. That's kind of, I rule out that inner judgment. Very simple. It's subtle, but it's very simple. You want to do about me? You okay? Okay. Okay, thank you very much.